and has unlimited intelligence in guiding the activities of his disciples. Therefore, Krishna voices in Bhagavad Gita 4:34, Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadeshyanti deyanam jnaninas tattva darshana. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master, incur from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because he has seen the truth. One should fully surrender unto the spiritual master and with sincere sevaya, one should approach him for further spiritual enlightenment. ॐ अज्ञानतिमनन्दस्यानां जनाशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः. श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपाकदाह्मय्यं ददाति स्वापदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरु वैष्णवांश श्रीरूपं सागरजातं सर्वनाथं तं सदैवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादां सर्वनाथरिता श्रीविशाखानन्दं च हे कृष्ण करुणा सिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपेशा गोपिकाकान्ता तप्तकाञ्चन गौरङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुतरे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत श्रीवासादि हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे हरे for Bhagavatam, my own purification. So, Indra and Brihaspati. So, this is a heartfelt regret by Lord, by Indra. Indra was blinded by the material opulence. He was if you read the previous verses, he was surrounded by all the facilities and opulence, and he was having his time. He was a king. He was in his kingdom. He was in there as a king. And there was umbrella, chamara. There were dancers and singers. And there were all varieties of people: apsaras, gandharvas, even people like, you know, different subterranean planets. Everyone was there and praising. And he was with his wife in the throne. So he was completely blinded by the surrounding material opulence. We hear time and again, material opulence is obstacle in the path of bhakti. But material opulence in itself, we may not take a stand that yes, bad. Material opulence used in a proper way, which can fuel our purpose of life, then that material opulence is actually great, isn't it? We have beautiful temples, we have beautiful offerings. We have a lot of festivals and events. We need opulence. Opulence is something which attracts the conditioned soul. Prabhupada wants it big. He wants a big marble temple in the middle of the city wherever we go. Because how else the conditioned soul is attracted? Is one of the way that they approach God is to get rid of the distress and get more money. They want money. And if you are in a, like a hut, in a, you know, like a tin shed, people may not be appreciative, even though the truth, even though the philosophy, even everything is so high for you. They should see, they want to see. So material opulence, when used for our sense gratification, then it's entangled. We hear again and again in Bhagavad Gita, second chapter, many verses Krishna makes sure or tells this living entity or my own part, Mamayamsu Jiva Rokte Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. They are struggling with the senses and mind. Because the sense objects and senses are like, you know, very attractive in nature. They want to. It's inseparable like that. But when same material opulence is used in the sense gratification of Krishna, this is a central point or a central theme of Bhagavad Gita in the start of the Prabhupada gives. We are meant to satisfy the senses of Krishna. Isn't it? That is called love. If we are trying to satisfy our senses, then that is called lust. So very clear, the material opulence has its own usage. But then here we can see time and again, in the case of Indra, even though he had a lot of opulence, he is portrayed as a great devotee. Indriyadivarikulam, the UK, that Krishna personally comes to deliver the devotee like Indra. We should not immediately take side and receive the comments on Indra. This is there for our teaching, we should understand. Great personality. You know, what Krishna also says that my devotee never perishes. Even though sometimes accidentally he falls down, but if he stick to the path, if he stick to the path of devotion, then he is meant to get perfected. He is in the process of perfection. So here we can see Indra quickly regretted. He understood when he saw that my spiritual master has left this place without even speaking a word. Now this is very interesting actually in Srimad Bhagavatam. We have the same situation in the fourth canto when Daksha entered the arena. Lord Shiva came there. Now then here you see Brihaspati entering and Indra came there. So in both the situation, it's not just material opulence, we have to see the etiquette. So that's what say second point which Indra was saying. First Indra was saying, I want to curse this material opulence because this actually made me very embarrassing situation, or this actually made me fall down. But the second thing is, one should know a superior religious etiquette. How to behave, how to actually contact oneself or behave himself in the assembly of Vaishnavas and devotees. This is very crucial and critical, because material opulence, yes, you know, we may get entangled, but then there is a hope that one may get frustrated in material opulence and sense gratification, and then he can turn. But then one behaving in a proper way, that actually displeases Krishna and Vaishnava. That is a more dangerous situation than having a lot of money. Because the attitude towards devotee actually determines our progress as well in bhakti. And we can see here that Indra disrespecting just by not giving proper respect to his own spiritual master. This is a serious offense actually. This is a serious offense. So one place we see that one person not getting up is is justified, the fact that Shiva is not an ordinary person, because Daksha was having already preconceived idea of one, how one everyone should receive him. So it all boils down to one point, that Amarina Manadeena, you know, Kirtane Sadari. That's the verse. If you see in this whole episode, you can summarize or boil down to that verse. Nandanam Najanam. That one doesn't want. Even Prabhupada writes in the Prabhupada. So, but it all boils down to giving respect and not expecting more. So, in irrespective of various situation, whether we are sitting and not giving, or we are entering, or we are going to visit devotees, or the devotees are coming to see us, it always to be said that we can ready to give respect to everyone and not expect anyone. But then, this sounds very easy and theoretical and very attractive, but to put it in place, it's very difficult for a false ego. It is very difficult for a false ego to take that humble position, irrespective of whatever designation or whatever achievements in bhakti or whatever knowledge one has, to remain humble and to give respect to everyone. And that's the quality of Uttama Adhikari, if you really see. He thinks everyone is advanced, everyone is perfect, everyone is pure, everyone is above me. Well, that's a mood, actually. That's because if you see, the category of devotees is distinguished or categorized on the basis of behavior. And neophyte, for him, only the Supreme Lord and himself, right? He doesn't actually treat or give proper respect to devotees. He don't mind. For him, it is like direct connection, I am and the Lord. I don't want to deal with these people. He doesn't know a proper etiquette. This behavior is like the ornaments in Vaishnava's presence. Makes one devotee very attractive. How he behaves. So a neophyte is least bothered about devotees, because he feels that I'm directly connected with Krishna. I'm worshipping Krishna, the Supreme Person, I'm directly connected. But then he progresses to Madhyama when he discriminates people and give proper etiquette or respect to that person whom he is dealing with. If he is seniors, he gives respect. If he is equal, he makes friendship. If someone is innocent, he preaches and compassion. Right? And if someone is envious, he avoids them. So that is his action. That is his behavior towards different people. And then if you see them progressively, Uttama Adhikari, he doesn't even think that this person is envy, this person is friend, this person is senior. He thinks everyone is above, everyone is way beyond in Krishna consciousness. And our process of bhakti, we have to be with devotees. He can't escape. He is not like, yes, I know all this knowledge, all these scriptures and everything, let me go to the forest and perform my myself. No, that is not an option, because we see that it's not going to work. He alone in the wilderness is like the path to perish. Like the cloud which is, what is it Krishna said, the raven cloud, or cloud which is, it's dissipated. So similarly, we have to be with devotees, but at the same time, we have to be very cautious of how we deal with devotees. So that's why these kind of pastimes help, even though one may be in even the king of all demigods, or the Prajapati, or Daksha, they are all great people actually. They are men, they are working on the order of the Supreme Lord, they are carrying out the service of the Supreme Lord, and they are the administrators of this universal dealings. Even those great people, they regret of their dealings. So we should be extremely cautious when we are dealing with devotees, and make sure we are humble and giving respect. So here, Prabhupada gives a purport in explaining about the Acharya. This verse itself, this whole text can be offered to Srila Prabhupada. It perfectly fits. As Indra praying to Brihaspati, we can offer this whole, because every day we touch, we place our head, or we touch the feet of Srila Prabhupada placing our head. So he is an Acharya. One time, the memories we collected by Atmatattva Prabhu, he was distributing books to someone in India, and then he showed the book of Krishna book, and this person took back, and there was a picture of Srila Prabhupada. So he quickly took some thread or something for measurement, and then he measured the forehead of Prabhupada and the ears of Prabhupada and everything, and then Atmatattva Prabhu was thinking, what's happening? And he said, this person is an Acharya. The four Acharya, the four Sampradaya Acharya are present in him. Do you have a full picture of this person? And the Prabhu, he was like the little taken back, and then he said, okay, fine, I'll get it something. And then he somehow got the picture of Srila Prabhupada and presented to that person. And he measured everything and he said, this person, all the four Sampradaya Acharyas are present in him. He is not an ordinary person. I want to surrender to him. I've been looking for this kind of person only. So he took out and he said, can I have this book? I want to really look forward. I want, this person is not, sir, he's not an ordinary person, he's an Acharya. So Atmatattva Prabhu gave a book, and he collected another incident. Prabhupada, as an Acharya, he was in Kumbh Mela. And he was, I think, his Ekadasi, he was talking about the lotus seeds. It's good if it's fried in ghee. And he was telling, and then he was going to get some lotus seeds. And that time he got his friend, Ramanandi, he's a Sampradaya, I think it's a Sankara. Saivet Sankara Sampradaya, big Sampradaya, I think. He had a friend and he came along with his son. And then he came, and then he put the like kind of a bowl, and he wanted to abhishek Prabhupada's feet. And all the devotees are waiting. This is in 76, Prabhupada was recollecting. This is in 76. Everyone is eager. They didn't wash feet of Prabhupada. They want the channel with the Prabhupada. But this person came, and then out of love, him. And Prabhupada said, you will go and take bath. And he said, what's the point going and take bath? You are the Sangamam of all the river, holy river. You are a great devotee. And washing your feet is an idol, actually. It's true, isn't it? If you go to pilgrimage, the main purpose of going to pilgrimage is associated with some great Vaishnava, hear from him and serve his lotus feet. That is the purpose of pilgrimage, not just going and taking part in the holy river. So then this devotee took the child and distributed. Then Prabhupada said, you have a son. He said, you give your son to me, I'll make him as an Acharya. Then father said, soon, in time, very soon time, he will. Prabhupada said, soon time, there is no time. You don't want to give. The person said, no, Prabhupada, he just started learning the Sanskrit. So he's a young boy. Once he grow on up, I'll come give it to you. Prabhupada left. So years after, Atmatattva Prabhu again went to Kumbh Mela with all the Gurukul boys. He wanted to show. So he took everything, and there was a big procession, a big gathering. It said that the Sampradaya, which the Sankara Sampradaya, was splitted into many groups. And they all united on that year under one sannyasi, who is a young sannyasi, who combined all the Sampradaya. Imagine, he collected everything and made it into one group. And they were there, and it was a big position, and this was a young sannyasi, and basically all were like three times more his age. All the people with beard and everything, all were sannyasi, and this is a sannyasi. And he saw Atma Tattva Prabhu, and he started glorifying Prabhupada in Sanskrit verses. He quoted so many verses and everything, and then Atma Prabhu, you know, showed all the boys, and then he said, "You remember, you used to carry me when I was a young boy, in the same place, in the back. So that boy is the Acharya of that Sampradaya, the same boy who Prabhupada said, if you come to me, I'll make Acharya." Yet he glorified Prabhupada, he composed verses for Prabhupada, and he said, "My father actually took a vow before dying that I have to finish all the commentary of the Saita Kavasya of the Sankara." And he said, you know, "By the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, I became Acharya." So we can see, Acharya is as a unique position in any sampradaya. They are not just an ordinary person. A very special place, even in our sampradaya, Prabhupada always had a special place. That's why we are doing this course, Founder Acharya course, to understand the unique position of Srila Prabhupada. He's not just any other ordinary person. He has come to deliver the message of Lord Chaitanya. It is very clear. In 10 years, so many temples, so many, we can never repay whatever we have received from Srila Prabhupada. We are always indebted to Acharya. He is a special. So here, the position of us, we can see, by just pleasing the spiritual master, then Krishna is pleased and everything is like a gate opening to the Vaikuntha or to the spiritual world. Serving the devotees. So here, Krishna, so then Prabhupada actually gives this verse from Bhagavad Gita 434, Tadvidhi Pranipateya Pariprashana Sevya Upadrishyanti Jena Jnana Sattva Darshan. This is an interesting verse actually, because this verse not only establishes the position of a spiritual master, but it also gives us how we should approach and behave with the spiritual master. This is a very critical action. So there is a few, the extreme is considering that spiritual master or a guru equal to God. Because normally people, they don't want someone as a mediator. They feel that I don't need anyone in my spiritual life, a person interfering with my dealing with God. This is one side that they don't want. Right? Another side is that they portray a guru equal to God or as a replacement to God. That is one other issue. Unless we have a proper understanding, then it becomes really difficult to explain to people as well. Guru is not replacing God, but is representing God. This is our philosophy. Because the whole point of Bhagavad Gita is started when Arjuna took a position of a disciple and ready to receive the knowledge. This is the Krishna's method, that in order to approach God, we need some kind of a person who knows God, who knows the Supreme God. And not only that, Krishna Prabhupada in Bhagavad Gita again, the way the material nature works, it pushes someone to approach a spiritual master, to get unbound. The three modes are meant to bound the conditioned soul in this material world, keep him here all the time. So we need someone who is liberated, who is not bound. transcendental, who can actually reveal or who can unbound us from the conditioned life. That's Guru, one who cuts the knot which we create within our heart in this material world. So one who can able to give that knowledge, open the eyes from the darkness of ignorance. So we have a lot of scriptural verses glorifying the position of a guru, one who knows the science of God. So here, this extreme has to be avoided. Either compare, we don't want anyone, nor we don't want God. One end is we don't want God because the God, my guru is equal to God. We see so many, you know, this false religion popping every time someone claiming they are avatar of someone. And they totally mislead. This is like exactly the previous verse, who are trying to get into a boat which is made out of stone. They are not going to go anywhere. They are just going to go down one dip in the depth of ignorance. And another extreme is that I don't want anyone. This is a neophyte mentality that I can directly deal with God. Even the great acharyas in our sampradaya, they are only helping in the footstep of some senior devotees or, you know, already the eternal associates, and they are helping in the service of Radha and Krishna. So then, how do we do it? So Krishna and Prabhupada are saying, we should avoid blind following by asking inquisitive questions. But at the same time, our question should not be obscured inquiry. So first is, comes before inquiry, one has to submissively serve the spiritual master. And then one is eligible to ask question and inquiry. Then the spiritual master reveals the transcendental knowledge or the truth to the surrendered soul. So that inquisitiveness will avoid the blind following, because one has to understand when the spiritual master is speaking, when a person is inquisitively asking, say, you know, in Srimad Bhagavatam, in the previous chapter, Sukadeva Goswami said that the spiritual master got offended and they got another person who, even though come from the enemy's camp, but he made a guru and then they got it back. Then he is inquisitively asking, Parikshit Maharaj is asking, even Arjuna, every chapter he is asking, Krishna, you spoke like this. May I know why you spoke like this? What is the possibility of if you follow like this? Can you enlighten? So he is asking inquisitive questions so that he can understand the instruction of the spiritual master. But his questions are not like obscure, you know. He's not asking some weird questions. So generally, our question should be either beneficial for ourselves or for others or for common humanity. If our questions are not beneficial to any of these categories, better not ask questions. You know? Just to sake of asking questions and pose that I know thing. It is an expression, again, it's an expression of false ego that we want to show off. Then it won't actually penetrate in our heart. The instruction won't go in. So that's very important that we follow this verse to submissively render service and inquire relevant questions so that we can understand the instruction. Then the self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because he has seen the truth. So one should fully surrender unto the spiritual master. And with service, one should approach him for further spiritual enlightenment. So this is another very important that it's a lingering tendency that we assume that initiation is my culmination of spiritual progress. Or my goal is initiation. Somehow or other I have to get initiated. But as the word suggests, even the process itself, initiation means you just started. It's not the goal. Goal is not initiation. We think I need to somehow get my spiritual master initiated, or somehow a hook or crook. And even though so many layers of test and everything is there, I feel like, you know, I'm close to my goal. Once I finish this course, this exam, that exam, schedule done, this done, recommendation done, everything done, yes, I've got initiated, that's it, done. Whereas, you know, after that, one should not think complacent the relationship with the disciple and the spiritual master is done, you know. He will come birth after birth and save me, that's it. This should be, we should avoid this trap of after initiation, you know, we depart like that. No. We should always carry the instruction of the spiritual master in the heart, as a heart. And so this is from the example of Srila Prabhupada, we can see. He always wanted to do what his spiritual master asked him. In many cases, we may not get personal instruction as what we see. But there is always general instruction in the lectures or in the writings of spiritual master, or whenever he has given lectures or everything. So we should think that initiation is just my beginning of my relationship with the spiritual master. Then it's a long way to go. A long way to go. So one should be very more enthusiastic, more inclined after the initiation. One should be very much inclined to serve the spiritual master, his instruction and his physical presence if possible. Of course, we are not, if spiritual master is there and we just focus, yes, I want it here. But if you have opportunity, if you have a blessing, if you have chance, why not serve the spiritual master physically? But at the same time, his instruction carries more weightage. Siksha carries more importance in our Gaudiya line. So here, one should, these are some of the Prabhupada regarding Acharya verse. One should respect the spiritual master, accepting him as Lord himself, as a representative of the Supreme Lord. And then one should not disrespect the Acharya at any time. So this is very important. And one should never think the Acharya an ordinary person. This is again, I think, nectar of instruction clearly says one should not see as an ordinary person, even if he has a defect in the body or he doesn't look good. Spiritual master is beyond the color, creed, caste, or the place of birth, or the body features. Familiarity sometimes breeds contempt, but one should be very careful in one's dealing with Acharya. This goes with every devotee actually, not just Acharya. It is, you know, I find myself difficult as well, because your work with devotees who are very senior in your age and practice. You deal with devotees who are very much advanced in spiritual life. But it's because you meet them every day, you work with them every day, you see them every day, then you take it for granted. You actually have that feeling that, oh, this is my casual dealings, but that leads to casualty actually. We should have really very formal and very respectful, try to as much as possible, which I find difficult as well, because in our temple we have lots and lots of senior devotees, like everywhere you can see senior devotees actually. But still one has to be very much aware and try to, but even the senior devotees may take you as a friendly and they may greet you and invite you, or gestures are very friendly, But still one has to be very much careful. Sometimes you may sleep, but we should pull our back, pull the back, and then we should be always very respectful. So I'll stop here and see if anyone has any questions or comments or addition what we discussed today. Yes, sir.
So you mentioned that you have to be very careful with dealing with bodies, especially seniors and their parents. Is that similar to having, I guess, a constant anxiety around the bodies to avoid an apparat and negative behavior towards them?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's like a razor edge. It's good if like shaving, if it's sharp, it purifies, cleans and everything. But if you're not careful, then it can cut you, it can bleed. Similarly, devotees are the fence who can protect the creeper of the mad elephant, of the elephant. But then the mad elephant comes when you break that fence because you up on the devotees. There are no more friends. So it's like that. And it's good to dealing with devotees. Actually, it makes us humble. If we want to be servant of the servant, then we need to develop the quality. Bhagavad Gita, the process of knowledge, Krishna says, first thing is you need to develop humility. I see that one sense, humility is very close to developing bhakti. Can be synonymous in one time, because the deeds of all the Goswamis and Chaitanya, they believe they present themselves, you know, like very humble, even though they are very advanced in spiritual life, but still they present each other very low and very humble. So similarly, we should be very careful. At times we may think our friendly chat and everything, but predominantly we should be in that zone. Yes, we have some fun time, we have all devotees having nice time, but then come to back to normal, we are thinking, okay. Especially we have wonderful community of devotees in Melbourne. You can see in festival time that you want to speak to everyone, but you don't have time. Everyone wants to speak to you as well. So loving and nice. At the same time, we should be very respectful to everyone. Yeah. You should be cultivated, obviously. That's why we read Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, hearing the lectures, and doing our sadhana, so that we can be able to lower our base quality, suppress, and present ourselves in a good behavior. It all comes out because behavior is something which comes when we have already contemplated within. It is just an external manifestation. But then when we are internally not connected, we don't understand the importance of devotees, then only we will get into the trap of Maya, that we think these people are just another, people, any other kind, that's it. We don't think them as a very special commodity. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.